So our next speaker, next up of the program, is the founder of Crypto Self Direct and wealth advisor with Innovative Advisory Group. He's a trailblazer in the field of crypto wealth management strategies and works with Bitcoin and crypto early adopters to provide advanced financial planning with a particular focus, and this is something that people think about all the time, IRAs and 401ks, so he's the real expert on it. Please welcome Timothy Pichot.
It is great to be back here. For those who don't know, I'm Tim Pichot. I'm a certified financial planner, chartered retirement planning counselor, run a virtual financial planning practice out of Phoenix, Arizona, and also an anarchist. So you see there, I sort of had to sneak in the financial planning part in there, because in this room, that's usually the bad word. However, because you guys don't know me, I probably cost people in this room, and certainly the room last year, probably tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars from the strategies that I was helping to develop. Now, my presentation today is called Crisis Retiring, and is really a perfect tee up from all the other speakers we had the past 2 days, because just because it says crisis does not mean that we need to go have our head down in the sand and think it's all doom and gloom, because if you look at what the word crisis comes from, it's actually the Chinese symbols for danger and opportunity. And luckily, there's actually a girl who speaks Mandarin in the crowd, and so I wasn't actually sure if this actually meant that, because I don't speak Mandarin, and I pulled out the slide yesterday. She did confirm it. So luckily, it doesn't mean like I love government or something, or soup. So it does mean means crisis. But with that, anytime there's a crisis, and we had lots of other speakers touch on this today, the name of the presentation is actually an ode to Mr. Doug Casey, who wrote the book Crisis Investing, which I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with, because as these turbulent times come, there's going to be a lot of ways for a lot of people to make a lot of money and to also hold on to their purchasing power. Now, a lot of you are familiar with the quotes from both Rockefeller and Rothschild, that they both say something along the lines of, the best way to make money is when there's blood in the streets, and I'm probably not going to have to wait too much longer. Or I guess if you're Luperdowski, if you're traveling in France, the blood is probably already on the streets. But what we're going to talk about today is the seven biggest dangers that people face in retirement. And I can pretty much guarantee that some of these you've never even heard of before. And don't worry if you're not close to retirement age, or if you're like me, and I can't sit still for more than 2 seconds, that's why I'm pacing back and forth. But for a lot of people, they're probably never gonna retire, they wanna live semi-retired, they're gonna have different types of work optional lifestyles, but the strategies we're gonna talk about today are very applicable to any investor, not just for people who are in retirement. So we're gonna talk about how you can hold on to your purchasing power, how you can help protect your purchasing power, and then I'm also going to give you guys ways where we can stay in touch, because obviously in a half an hour time frame, there's only so much information that I can get out. But what I have throughout this presentation is, if you see the number at the bottom of the screen, I've got, if you like this subject, I've got an extra hour long presentation on this, or I've got a book that I wrote on this, or a blog article on this. And so I've got an opt-in where basically every day for 2 weeks, I'll send you guys an email of follow-up information on all the information that will be discussed today. But first, I want to talk about what it took me to speak here last year, and then an update on the strategy that I recommended. And since I am a financial advisor, and I've already been through enough to be here the first time I was here last year, I just have to give a quick disclaimer that unless one of the probably three or four people in the crowd that is my client, if I'm not your advisor, talk to your own advisor. He's probably going to tell you, probably not going to know anything about what I'm talking about, in which case you can come talk to me. But this is all for informational purposes only. And everyone has to take their own responsibility, do their own due diligence, and that's my CYA for today. So sorry for bugging you guys with that. But anyways, I want to give an update on last year's presentation. I spoke on how people could use different types of charitable trust to what they're going to do. And I'll get this in a second. The other thing I want to talk about is the crypto retirement accounts. We did speak, we had some speakers that did talk about this earlier today. But again, take your phones out and text TDV to 71441 at any point during this presentation. If you're like, hey, this seems like great information, I want to learn more, that's a great way to find out more information. Unfortunately, I just found out that that only works for US customers, so the other people can go to thelibertyadvisor.com/TDV. It doesn't have, the website doesn't have nearly as much of the information, so if you can text, you definitely want to make sure that you can text that. And that number will be on the later slides as well, in case you didn't catch it there. But what I spoke about last year was, I ran through an example where someone was 55 years old, they put $15 million into a charitable trust from crypto or Bitcoin that they bought for next to nothing. And what they then did is, inside the charitable trust, I had them taking out $750,000 per year, which, you know, probably most of us here could probably live off of that. And over the course of their lifetime, I assumed the guy lived to age 90, he pulled out close to $23 million. Then what happened is he used some of that $23 million to buy a life insurance policy, put that into a special type of trust to then be able to bypass all the estate taxes. And basically it's a way where everyone except for the IRS is better off. And so when you see people who say, you know, they gave away all their money, they didn't really, and this is, I've got a whole hour long addendum to this if you guys text that number. So, you know, obviously there's so many great speakers after me at NARCAPOCO, and if you're like me and at the bar, then you're probably not going to remember anything I talked about anyways. So, you know, that's a great way where you can have it at home and then be able to access that information at your own leisure. But ultimately, the person that did this type of planning was able to transfer on to their heirs and to their legacy $128 million. And the person that didn't do this type of planning was able to pass on $104 million. So right there, you know, there's 24 million reasons why you might want to talk to me if you happen to be that person. And again, I did use a 9% growth rate, so, you know, it wasn't like an insane number that I was using. But if you used a slightly higher number, which is also not insane in a dollar collapse scenario, if you use 20%, and again, this was someone taking a static $750,000 per year. In the real world, you'd probably take a percentage. But anyways, what it looks like is the person that did the planning was able to transfer $4.6 billion. The person that didn't do the planning was able to transfer $3.7 billion. So there you had almost a billion reasons to come talk to me. But when you go through and you look at, you know, all the, you know, ancient families and the really wealthy families, there was a study done in Florence, Italy recently, and it turned out that the families of 1427 were the richest families back then, were actually still the richest families today. And there's a reason why. It's because they're using these types of strategies, they know the loopholes, and they're able to basically put themselves and their families in much better positions because of that. I mean, does anyone think, you know, Mark Zuckerberg just gave away all of his money just because he's the best guy in the world? Or do you think this guy just gave away all his money because he, you know, loves everyone? I mean, he calls it his Open Society Foundation, so I mean, you can't get really more Orwell than that. And then you've got, you know, Bill Gates, and you know, he gave away all his money. And you've got Warren Buffett, who's always just a nice old man eating an ice cream, so he's very non-threatening, and that means you can trust him. And then, of course, you've probably seen this guy from Jim Cramer. I mean, does anyone think Jim Cramer is super charitable, that he's doing, that he wouldn't be doing this if there wasn't some sort of benefit for him and his family? And hopefully for him and his family, he didn't have too much GE, because they have not been doing very well lately. But it's funny, that's the picture that I found for him. And then you got the Mac Daddy of them all, John D. Rockefeller, who famously said, "Competition is a sin," who also gave away close to $500 million, non-inflation adjusted, way back in the day. Now, a lot of people probably heard there was a pretty famous guy in the crypto space who famously sold and or donated all of his Litecoin at the very top of the market. I was at another conference and happened to run into this individual. There's a whole bunch of people around me, so it wasn't confidential. I was telling him what I was doing, and he said, "Yeah, that's actually what I did. I put my money into a charitable trust." So technically, Charlie Lee may not have actually sold his Litecoin. He could have sold his Litecoin into his own charitable trust, which is now technically a different entity, which means he's technically telling the truth. And I don't know if he still does or doesn't have his Litecoin. That's not the point. The point is, he's a really smart guy. He was at Google, one of Coinbase's first employees. I think he's like third or fourth employee, you know, creator of Litecoin. And, you know, so when he sold out at the top, he got a massive tax break. This guy's tax break is probably worth, you know, probably 20 times more than the Litecoin he may or may not still own inside of there. So, you know, this is a strategy where, you know, Charlie Lee found out about it. Not sure how many other people did. But, you know, he is a very smart guy. So if you guys text that number, you get the whole hour-long presentation. This is a really quick run-through. I mean, I could get all nerdy and geeky on it, and, you know, no one's going to, you know, remember me anyways. So, you know, this is what you want to, or you guys aren't going to remember all the details. So that's where you get the details. Now what I want to discuss is what it actually took for me to speak here last year. So we've got in the front row Mr. Ernest Hancock of FreedomsPhoenix.com, and he approached me and said, you know, "Hey, you know, what do you do if you're, you know, let's say you bought your crypto on Coinbase, or you bought on a Kraken, or the man knows that you have it, and you've got, you know, $1 billion, what do you do?" And so I in my head, it's actually a pool party, and in my head I already knew basically what to do, I just had to figure out how to implement it. Well, then he ran off and told everybody I'd already basically figured it out, and so kind of before I was actually ready to deploy this. And one of the people he told was Mr. Jeff Berwick, who graciously enough called me, or actually sent me an email on Christmas of 2017. So, you know, some people want to criticize him, but the man's out there working on Christmas, sending emails out. So, you know, definitely is a hard worker. So then I had already, you know, spent all this time trying to figure out, you know, the strategy and how to legally do it within the framework. Then, you know, I also saw that there was a certain crypto IRA company that was out there that was charging 15% up front. And I'm like, that is absolute highway robbery. You know, I can pretty much guarantee I can do it cheaper than that. So I started off to seek on that path of how someone could be able to do that. And unfortunately, right as this was all going on, the price of Bitcoin, you know, went from like $2,000 to $20,000. And the next thing I know, the broker-dealer I was with, LPL Financial, largest independent broker-dealer in America, they banned every single advisor in America from speaking out about crypto a month before I was gonna talk here. And so I was like, all right, well, you know, I can drop my Series 7 and become what's called a registered investment advisory, RIA-only advisor. It gets, I'm not gonna bore you guys with all the details. Still would be a pretty big move. And then, they knew what I was gonna do, they knew the talk, I'd already discussed all this over. Well, anyways, they got their panties in a bunch the week before I was supposed to present here and forced me to resign just so I could give this this talk last year. Now, when I resigned in the past, I'd only left one other company before, and I left at 8 in the morning, and by like 8:30, I was already live again. I figured, okay, you know, what I'm doing is kind of out there. Maybe it'll take a week, maybe it'll take a month. Well, what I didn't realize is that when your entire business plan involves basically motherfucking the entire financial system, they don't move you to the front of the line to get approved. So I didn't end up getting approved till about, you know, July, which by then all the, you know, horses were already out of the barn. I'm like, hey, sell your crypto when it's high strategy. And so, you know, it was a pretty big cost. I then had to end up selling my house, which, you know, I bought at the exact low, so it was good to get out of there anyways, just to be able to basically, you know, survive and fund this business. And then come to August, started moving my existing clients over, and then in October we got our first crypto IRA all set up. So I mean, there was a silver lining there that, you know, the people were getting in at around $3,500 Bitcoin. So if there was a silver lining, that would be it. But, you know, I just want to let you know that, you know, there is a good financial advisor out there. To speak here last year, I gave up my Series 7 license, paid a five-figure fine for being here, lost over $10 million of assets under management, of which about seven I knew I was going to lose. The other three was a mixture of half of them said, hey, you're too pro-Trump. The other half said, you're too critical on Trump. Mm-hmm. And so when you're a libertarian, that's, you know, the exact quandary you always get yourself into, but I'm not making apologies for anything that I say. So that translates to about $100,000 of residual income that I basically voluntarily had to give up to speak here last year. So I'm not just some guy up here shilling away and, you know, out here to, you know, get everybody's money. I'm out here to help the community because I know that there's basically nobody else like me in this community, and I know that there is a ton of information that can help everybody else in this room. Also, last year, I mean, I did mention I had to. Thank you. I really do appreciate that. So I was, you know, sending consolation for being unemployed for most of 2018. I didn't take any food stamps or anything because I, you know, screwed the government. But, you know, I did go through a lot of tough times. I had a 1 and 2 year old daughter at home. My wife had to end up going back to work, so you can imagine she was not very happy. And then I mentioned I did, you know, proactively sell my house. But now I'm growing 14 times faster than I was growing before. You know, it's a move where, you know, 2 years from now, people say, oh yeah, well, anyone could have done that. But yeah, you know, no one likes getting a self-imposed kick to the nuts for an entire year, basically just to be up here for 15 minutes. So now I did, though, get the coolest profile picture ever, though, with backstage last year. I had two of my idols, Gilbert Griffin and Mike Maloney, back there. And I'm like, you know, it's like one of those sayings, you know, and all I got was this lousy t-shirt. All I got was an awesome profile picture that's been up there ever since. So I don't know if I'm taking it down. So if you guys do want to know more about that strategy, again, you can text the number. Last year, you know, I'm not out there, you know, spamming everybody. Last year, I had 26 people email me from on stage. I think I only sent out about 4 emails all year. One of those emails, I made a video October 2nd. This was the exact letter that went out to my clients and to the people that opted into the email. Made it October 2nd, the email went out October 4th. It said, you know, we've been told things have never been better with the economy, you know, but is that really the case? I then went in on a video that probably about half an hour long of detailing just a ton of reasons why, you know, the mainstream media is full of crap and everything. And then I also then detailed what I had done for my clients to protect them in the event that the market was gonna go down. And little did I know that I made that video the day before the market went down. And I was incredibly busy. So I mean, for me to, you know, as I'm in this rat race, moving all my new clients over, or existing clients over, getting new clients, you know, for me to stop and make that video, I realized, you know, hey, I might not have, you know, another month or two or three when things calm down. And it's also the reason why I made this presentation today and not on the financial crisis, because I didn't know 3 months ago. And I'm like, well, we might already be in it. It might already be old news by then. So I got to pick something that's going to be evergreen to speak about. So again, if you guys text that number, you'll get that presentation as well. And what used to happen is everyone that was, you know, around, like within 5 feet of me, it was, you know, you're going to get the Ron Paul talk. That ended up evolving into, you know, you're going to get the talk about crypto. And the reason for that was because of this guy, Mr. Ernest Hancock, who's sitting in the front row. You may have known him from freedomphoenix.com. Also, he created the Ron Paul Revolution logo that I'm sure probably all of you are pretty familiar with. But I do want to, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here right now. My net worth would probably be a lot higher if it wasn't for him. But anyways, he's doing something very, very, very important right now. So I do want to make sure I get a little bit of attention on this. So this part isn't the financial part of it. The Kill the President, that's also known as a spelling test for cops to see if they know what they're actually talking about. But what he's working on right now that he's actually just launched, and they're launching this right now with James Corbett, where, not sure if you guys know what interplanetary file sharing is, but it's a way where you can take your information, it syncs up to a computer where basically your information is yours, you own it, it can't be hacked. That then syncs with other nodes all around the world, and then they've created a system where that then can then distribute out to the other major platforms like BitChute, BitTube, DTube, you know, you name it, all these other systems. So it's a way where if they try to, you know, stop us, shadow ban us, censor us, you still have your information, and he's been working his ass off and getting this out, and he's gonna roll out with all the big content creators here to get this rolling out. So piratesoutborders.com is spearheading that. Ernie is not shy at all to talk about this, so if you wanna know more about this, he's the man to talk to. Anyways, what are we gonna talk about today? We are mainly gonna focus on the big retirement risks that are out there. So we're gonna start with some of the obvious ones out there. You've got market risk, you know, that's the market going down, you know, think 2008, you know, nothing crazy there. You've got inflation risk. I mean, we're at the TDV Investment Summit. I don't think I have to spend too much time talking about potential for inflation risk. We have deflation risk, which, you know, we got the quote from Thomas Jefferson, you know, first by inflation, then by deflation, we'll end up homeless on the continent or forefathers conquered or something like that. And then what we also have is withdrawal rate risk. Withdrawal rate risk is where you're taking out a higher percentage of money. Let's say you're only earning 5% and you're taking out 7%. Well, eventually you'll probably end up depleting that. Again, none of these are really groundbreaking concepts. I'm getting into the other ones that you guys don't know about. Very sick. Another one is interest rate risk. What this is, and I'm gonna get in more detail for this later on, it's the concept of when interest rates go up, the underlying values of the bonds go down. And since basically since the time I was alive, the interest rates have done nothing but basically go down, 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 down. However, when interest rates start going up, it has very adverse effects in your portfolio. And there's a lot of people right now who think, oh, I want to be safe, so I'll keep my money in bonds. I mean, probably not in this crowd, but just like the general, you know, slave crowd that's out there in America. But anyways, we're going to talk a little bit more about that. The big enchilada of what I'm going to talk about today is going to be on what's called sequence of return risk. And that is the concept that the order of your returns is actually more important than the average of your returns. So, I mean, if you bought Bitcoin at 20,000, you know, you don't give a shit that it averaged 1,000% per year if you ended up losing 80, 90% year one. And so you have to figure out a way in retirement to be able to hedge yourself from sequence of return risk. It gets really loud when I walk over there, so I'll try to stop doing that. Now, we also see with Bitcoin, you know, the numerous times people could have experienced sequence of return risk over the years. I think we all are well aware that Bitcoin is very volatile. And the biggest risk of them all is actually what's called longevity risk. It's living too long. Because believe it or not, the longer you live, actually George Soros is more of a longevity risk for us, because that's actually sort of like a joke, because the longer he's alive, the more bad shit he does to us. So he's probably unfortunately not gonna run out of money. But what happens is, longevity risk is what's known as a risk multiplier. So the longer you're alive, the more chance you're gonna have a market crash, the more chance you're gonna have inflation risk or deflation risk or central banks messing things up. All the other risks, the longer you're, I mean, if you retire at 64 and you die at 65, You know, you don't have to be, some sort of genius to figure out your retirement. But, you know, in this crowd, we know we're probably not eating as many GMO foods. We're probably, I guess if you don't see me at the bar, I mean, I'm not usually doing that. But, this crowd is definitely a lot healthier, probably not taking all the vaccines, probably, up on more information to probably keep themselves and their family alive longer. So, longevity risk could be a very big factor for, the liberty, freedom, I hate using like an inclusive term, but the movement of people who are here generally are probably more healthy than the average person that's out there in America. So now we're going to go talk about interest rate risk once again. It works sort of like a seesaw. So, when the interest rates go up, the underlying values of the bonds go down. And what that means, basically, in skipping to the end here, is if you had $1 million in a 10-year bond and rates were only to go up 1%, the underlying value of your bond would then go down to $900,000. Now, you'd still get your 2-3% interest, $20,000-$30,000 a year. But the problem is, let's say you can't live off $20,000-$30,000 per year, and you need to live off $50,000, and now you're eating into principal. Now you're gonna, there's basically no way you're ever gonna recover, and that's only if rates go up 1%. And so how this works is if rates were to go up 2%, because of compounding, it'd be about $780,000. And so this is not far-fetched numbers. And there's so many people that you guys probably know, probably your friends and family, who are like, oh, well, I'm really safe, and I've got my money in a 10-year or 30-year bond. And I mean, the fact that you can get like a 1-year bond and a 10-year bond is paying about the same amount of interest, you would have to be an idiot to get a 10-year bond when you can get a 1-year bond if you're gonna get a bond at all. So it's just very important that that it's not just us in this room that understand this. We got to make sure the people that we care about and people in our movement understand it, because it is important information. And here's a chart from the Federal Reserve Economic Database, otherwise known as FRED, where it shows where rates were one day, and I think it's close to 15-16%. I don't have my glasses on. If you guys think this can't happen again, eventually the Federal Reserve could lose control of the interest rates, which them losing control is not necessarily a bad thing for me if you guys are positioned correctly. But I mean, last year I was interviewed by Ian Freeman outside of Free Talk Live during the main opening ceremony, and I told him that the Federal Reserve basically has a choice where they can either choose to save the stock market, the bond market, or the dollar. They can't choose to save all three. So if they want to save the stock market by printing a whole bunch of money, well then that can have adverse effects for the dollar, and vice versa, and again, it's not the main crux of my presentation today. So now I want to get into market risk. This is a concept that's also not crazy, not too ridiculous. A lot of people are pretty familiar with how math works, where if your account goes down 50%, you've got to gain 100% to get back to even. What people aren't as familiar with is what it looks like when you're actively withdrawing money, when you're actively taking money out to live on. The math gets a lot more difficult. So if you were to lose 50% and you're taking 4% out per year, which is what most people do, you'd have to gain 132% over the next 3 years to get back to even. And by then, you've probably already crapped your pants, you've already sold at the exact bottom, did all the wrong things, and you're basically gonna, long story short, you're gonna be screwed. Now, when you are accumulating funds, what I have here is two investors, investor A and investor B, and we've got investor, they have the exact same returns, just the mere inverse of one another. So investor A starts with 3 bad years, finishes with 7 good years. Investor B starts with 7 good years, finishes with 3 bad years. And because they are accumulating funds, what some people might refer to is, if they were actively putting more money in, they would refer to that as dollar cost averaging. But if you just left a lump sum pile of money, it doesn't really matter because they weren't actively taking money out. Where the math starts getting more interesting is, okay, well, what happens in this scenario where these two guys earn the exact same percentage over 10 years, took out the exact same amount, started with the exact same amount, and what you see is investor A, after 10 years, had about $630,000, and investor B had a little bit over $1 million, and they earned the exact same thing. So you're never gonna see anybody on CNBS, as I like to call it, talk about sequence of return risk. They're only talking about, this averages this averages that. Well, the average means nothing when you're about to retire. I mean, obviously, it's better to have a higher average than a lower average. I mean, that's not rocket science there. But where this has actually worked in the real world, someone retired in April of 1970, and they started with $500,000. They were taking out 4.05%. They had 60% stocks, 40% bonds, rebalanced annually, blah, 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 blah. The person that retired in April of 1970, after 30 years, had a little over $2.5 million. The person that retired 1 year before them had a little about the same as what they started with, about 600,000. And the person that retired 4 months before that person was ended up living with their kids because they ran out of money after 29 years. And that's all a 16-month window of when they chose to retire. And so you're never going to see anybody talk about this. And this is one of the most important things you can possibly know before you retire. And so if there's any nugget of information you guys got out of today, I hope this is one of the most important things that you can actually learn. But we also need to pay attention to how we can actually protect ourselves against this. One way is, and again, for people that text this, I will send you guys a link to a tool that I use called Riskalyze, where, you know, for all my clients, I have to give them like the bullshit 5-question questionnaire that everybody is legally supposed to get in my industry. I think they suck, but I also give them this one. And what it does a really great job of is saying, you know, how much risk can you actually handle on a scale of 0 to 100? And it also then gives you an idea of within a 6-month window where you have a 95% chance of being in a certain range of returns. And it's based on geeky stuff like standard deviation, but this breaks it down so that way the common person can use it. Then what I can also do, and again, this is only for today, only people that text this, to the number, as I can also then go ahead and see how much risk is actually in your portfolio. And I can also see the expense ratio that's in there, the dividends, all a whole bunch of other stuff. I can throw stress test in. Because what I've seen is time and time again, I mean, I have like little old ladies who are like, you know, I can, you know, their number comes up at 28, and you're like, you know, I'm really safe and conservative. I'm in big blue chip company stocks. And then I look at their portfolio and it's like an 88. And so, you know, some of these ladies were like in their 60s and could be devastated by sequence of return risk. So it's very important that you not only know how much risk is in your portfolio, but also how much risk you can handle. And the reason we use 6 months here is because 6 months is about the time where people would crap their pants if things aren't going well and then would sell everything. So you want to make sure you don't have more risk than what you can handle. We also could run a stress test that says, you know, in a good year like 2013, what would your portfolio do compared to the S&P 500 more than likely? Then also in a financial crisis scenario, how much could you actually stomach? And if you can't stomach going down 42%, then it might be a good idea to do something about that ahead of time than after time. It's sort of like, you know, go get your hair cut. You know, they can't put more on, but they can take more off. So you need to make sure we got this down ahead of time. And again, you guys text the number, I'll do that for you. So now what I want to discuss is common ways the Liberty community invest. So you've got a lot of people who are, you know, they fall into different camps. It might be in all gold or silver or all crypto or a combination of the three. And I'm very pro crypto, I'm very pro gold and silver. I mean, I've got, you know, silver gold in the back, so I do like it. little band of white there. But what happens is if you have all of your money in gold and silver or crypto, you know, it can protect it against inflation risk, protects against interest rate risk, but it doesn't do a great job protecting against sequence of return risk, withdrawal rate risk, deflation risk, or longevity risk. Another way what people do is they put all their money into cash, and that does a great job of protecting against market risk, deflation risk, sequence of return risk, interest rate risk, but it does not protect you against inflation risk or withdrawal rate risk. And so one thing that I kind of coined this in 2008 was keeping all of your money is going broke safely. And what I've got there is I do have a podcast or a show that I'm running. One of them is the Liberty Advisor Show. It's basically all things that doesn't have to do with crypto. The other one is the Crypto Wealth Show. It's everything that has to do with crypto. And I've got a porcupine that has a joint in zero with an AR-15 with a freedom stuff, because if you're offended by that, then I don't want to waste my time on you anyway. So it's sort of a qualifier. Even though every marketing person told me not to do that, and I apparently didn't listen. So maybe they should have told me to do it. I wouldn't listen. So. What I've got now is a slide where it shows different assets, so, you know, small cap stocks, treasury bonds, and over a 1 year time period, the volatility on short term small cap stocks is huge. But over a 20 year time period, it's actually not that much. And so, you know, a lot of this depends on how much time you have before you actually need to pull the money out, whether it's retirement or needed for a house or needed for your kids' college or whatever you're saving money for. Something that's very important to keep in mind. But also, you know, I can't sit up here and just give blanket recommendations. Everyone's gonna have different goals, different risk tolerances, different lifestyles. You're gonna be from different countries, have, you know, live in different tax jurisdictions, have different preferences for crypto or precious metals. I do think you should have precious metals and cryptos in your portfolio. But the other one I want to talk about is the classic 60-40 portfolio. What that is 60% stocks, 40% bonds. It's probably the most common portfolio I see out there on a day-to-day basis. I mean, if you were to say, hey, you know, you got your 55-year-old couple there, what portfolio do you have? You know, my money would be on that every single time. And it does a pretty good job protecting against inflation risk, pretty good job against withdrawal rate risk. That's, you know, taking, if you were to take 4% per year, it's a pretty good job against that. However, if you were to retire in, let's say, 2008, or, you know, before the next financial crisis that I think is coming, then, you know, it might not necessarily do a great job of protecting you. Now, I do have an entire podcast on this, and Tom Lee of Fundstrat, some of you guys might know who he is, did a little variation on the 60-40 portfolio. What he showed was, if you were to take 2% that was in stocks, and I'm just, you know, using this for the 60-40, I'm not saying you should have two, but what it found out is that if you were to take, you know, 40% in bonds, which I don't think you should have bonds, I'm just, you know, using that for, you know, devil's advocate, 2% in Bitcoin, 58% in stock, what they found out is that you actually decreased the amount of risk in your portfolio by adding Bitcoin, which is actually crazy, while greatly increasing the return. Now, obviously, it's subject to sequence of return risk, but that actually worked all the way up into 5% Bitcoin, and then they had one where it was 5% Bitcoin, 5% of a crypto basket of assets, and that was only slightly more risky, and then once you got above 10, then the math didn't work out as good. Now, I think an even better way is if you're gonna have money in bonds, one of the only ways to actually protect against longevity risk is actually, and this is, you know, a word where, you know, there's a lot of varying opinions on this, but, you know, my opinion is math and how the math works out on this. And I just had probably the top expert in the country on my show, which I have not actually released that podcast. So if you guys text a number, you'll be the first ones to get it. It's with Tom Hegna, who wrote Paychecks and Playchecks. He's makes about $1 million a year speaking, very big time guy. Did a luckily we were 1 degree of separation away, so I was able to get him on the podcast a few days ago. Have not released it, but what you can see is, if you were to have the 40% into, let's say, an annuity instead, what you're then doing is you can then pull out about $47,000 per year, because the annuity is going to pay a lot more than the actual bond. Problem is, just like most cryptos, a lot of annuities are crap. A lot of them are sold by, you know, sleazy salesmen that might as well be BitConnect salesmen. And so you really need to know, you know, what kind you're doing, and what kind you need to do is going to be dependent on a whole bunch of other factors. Anyways, I've got a whole other presentation on that. It also shows that, and we had speakers talk about people that they knew that were really rich and had, you know, that they weren't happy. What they found out is that people who had guaranteed income actually were happier than the people that had a lump sum of money. Now, I think you should have both, a lump sum of money and guaranteed income. And so as a recap today, you know, there are better strategies for use for income and safety than bonds. Staying in cash is going broke safely. Many people have a lot more risk than what they actually think they have. Longer lifespans are going to make retiring more and more difficult. You want to be a contrarian, factor inflation into your projections. You want to you know against the seven risks that are out there. And then also, the strategy that I was recommending for the people that opted in last year was something I called the protective growth portfolio. What I did is I took a tiny bit of their portfolios, invested into put options, because what you ultimately don't know is no one can predict the future. No one knows, you know, is the market going to crash? Or if the market crashes, is the Fed going to print $10 trillion because of some new stupid, you know, Green New Deal that the people are going to, you know, conjure up, and all of a sudden the market's going to be at, you know, a trillion, you know, on the Dow? Nobody knows, but my strategy basically says, you know, I don't really care with this. And this is not a strategy you want to run forever, but I got into it, you know, pretty much at the perfect time, and I made the video ahead of time, so, you know, anyone can Monday morning quarterback afterwards. But anyways, we got details on that. Again, I'm sort of running out of time here. So yeah, you want to make sure you have predictable income. Now, I do want to make sure that what I'm willing to do is I'm willing to set up crypto IRAs for people. I'm going to waive my $1,500 fee. I'm going to actually make it, if you guys do a $750 donation to free Ross, directly to Ross, not to me, I don't want anything to do with it. Only the first 10 people that do that, the next 10, it's going to keep going up $250. In increments like that, I'm going to waive my fee. It's only good to the end of this thing. Email me, free Ross in the subject line. So I'm calling that the Ross conversion. It was a play on the Roth conversion, which is, again, if you guys you know, text the number, I'll show you all the reasons why you'd want to do one of these strategies. But I just want to make sure I really got that in. You know, we got the pirates.borders.com with Ernest Hancock. My website is thelibertyadvisor.com. We got all these goodies if you guys text the number. And yeah, so I really appreciate you guys having me back. Hopefully I don't lose my job this time right up in the cage, and look forward to being back next year.
Wow, what an incredible 2 days. Unbelievable. Do you agree this is one of the best conferences we've ever been to? I mean, I think I've been here 3 years.
So I ran out of time and didn't get to elaborate on why someone should consider a crypto IRA, in particular a crypto Roth conversion. So especially if the alternative is cashing out of your 401k, but remember to text TDV to 71441. So the number you are sending a text to is 71441. And in the body of the text message, write TDV, as in the dollar vigilante, and then hit send. You'll get last year's presentation that delved a lot more into crypto IRAs. You'll also get an hour-long blockchain banker seminar where we delved into it even more. And another thing that I forgot to say as I was running out of time was how you can follow me. Now, the best way is to text that number. That way we can communicate whether I'm getting shadow banned from other platforms. I've already been shadow banned on Facebook, but I still am on Facebook right now as I'm waiting for everyone to get off. So I've got 32,000 people following me at the Libertarian Advisor. So it's a little bit confusing. The Libertarian Party pissed me off, so I switched to Liberty Advisor. So that the first iteration is at the Libertarian Advisor. It's a little bit tricky to find me on Facebook, but I do have my name on there. Also, you can find me on the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Podbean, Player.fm, a few others, but you can find the entire list at thelibertyadvisor.com. I try to live stream to more platforms than just Facebook, so I put one out on Facebook, also go live to DLive, Twitch, YouTube, sometimes BitTube, and then archive the shows over at BitTube, BitChute, and YouTube. But I know as we're trying to migrate away from Facebook and not really sure how to get in touch with people, having the phone number is definitely the best way, because we did see with Alex Jones that he was shadow banned and actually had his several email subscribers taken away from him. So again, if you guys text TDV to 74441, tons of great information, tons of great ways where we can stay in touch. Thank you for listening and hope you found this valuable. Thank you.
Why would anybody want to buy Bitcoin inside their IRA? I mean, the whole point of Bitcoin was to have peer-to-peer electronic cash. So why are you going to have a financial intermediary buy Bitcoin for you? Why don't you just cash out your 401k, cash out your IRA, cash out your retirement plan, and just buy Bitcoin on your own? Well, the reason for that is if somebody had January 1st, 2017, invested $100,000 into Bitcoin, and then 1 year later, they would have had, after taxes and the 10% penalty, they would have just under $900,000. So you would have turned $100,000 into close to $900,000. So you're obviously doing something right. However, there is a better way that they could have done it. What they could have done is they could have done a Roth conversion. With a Roth conversion, you save the 10% penalty, so you've got 10% more that could be invested into crypto. And the beauty of this is that now all of your gains are now forever tax-free. So you put the $100,000 in, and now, and again, you're getting out of paying the 10% penalty, and now after even all my management fees, you now have a little over $1 million. We have all the exact specific numbers linked down or should be on the screen right now. I don't have it memorized, but you know, to me, you know, $1 million sounds a little bit better than $900,000, and having tax-free gains forever sounds better than having $900,000 that now any appreciation or hopeful potential appreciation would then be subject to tax.
Now, one thing I forgot in this video is that you actually hold on to the private key. So I think that is very important to keep in mind. Now, if you head over to thelibertyadvisor.com, click on crypto, then you're going to see in the upper right-hand corner an FAQ where we'll answer such questions as, can I have other assets inside of my self-directed IRA? Can you manage my traditional assets? What are your minimums? What are your fees? How much does the IRA LLC setup cost? Can you invest into crypto using a self-directed 401k? Should I invest, have a Roth or a regular IRA? Can you invest in altcoins? Can you invest in ICOs? Can I place my existing crypto into my IRA? That's a very important one to know. And should I consider using a trust instead? All great information to know. So head over to thelibertyadvisor.com/FAQ to find out all that great information and more. Now, for those of you who have more than $250,000 to invest, we actually are waiving fees on setting up the self-directed IRA. But I do want to let you know that there is a legal fee. As of right now, it's $750 that you'd have to pay a lawyer, or unless you have your own lawyer, so that none of that ends up going to me. So just wanted to kind of nip that in the bud. Now, before you go ahead and do this, make sure that you send us an email. So you can go tim@innovativewealth.com. That's two N's, innovativewealth.com. Put free Ross in the subject line. And so as of right now, what we're looking at is we're going to do this till the end of March. So if you want to donate $500 directly to Ross, and before you do that, go ahead and talk with ourselves beforehand. So then we'll have the balance, $750 would go to us. You'd have to then pony out another $750 to a lawyer. Again, it's not our lawyer. We have no relationship in terms of any sort of financial incentive, so you can use your own as well. So all in, you're looking $2,000. You can help free Ross, free retirement, and and get your retirement on the right track.
And the other reason why we thought of this, or really the genesis of this, is I had heard a lot of people doing this, and I thought that, hey, there's got to be a better way. But the main reason is you've got a lot of people who the only money they have to invest is inside of their retirement accounts. A lot of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. I mean, even people who have million-dollar IRAs, a lot of them don't have actual extra money to invest. They don't have rainy day funds. And the rainy day funds should be kept in actual safe, liquid, you know, basically cash or really short-term treasury bills. It shouldn't be invested into Bitcoin. And so a lot of people just don't have that extra money to invest. And so taking a small percentage of your IRA or 401k and then, you know, putting it into Bitcoin, if you know what you're doing and you understand the risk and you actually believe in this philosophically, is actually, I think, you know, a good move to make. So again, if you're going to pull money out of your 401k to buy Bitcoin, you should talk to myself, because I think that the Roth IRA conversion is a much better way of doing things. And that is why somebody would want to consider having Bitcoin inside their IRA as opposed to cashing out their 401k and just buying it outright.
A lot of the guys that have gone over to the Tim are these people. They've been, man, woo, we got, thank you very much, guys. At a perfect time when it's at the high, which is at the high now. Well, you say, oh, it went down 1,000 here. Yeah, that'll mean nothing. I'm talking half. It's a third of what, I mean, it's going to get nasty. And if it's not in the actual dollar amount of the stock value, your pensions, or they're going to go after it, it's going to be in inflation and the cost of living. So it's, if you don't protect yourself, it's not because I didn't tell you, okay? I don't want to hear you whining, bitching crap, you know, later. Man, as Neon freaking told you so. So this is, and I talked to Tim about this years ago. You know, it's been a year and a half at least. I go, all right. I see this need for it. May not, I mean, big brainiac guy kind of people, yep, they know what's going on, or hell, they already been doing it. Here's a financial professional to help take care of you, endorsed by moi, all right? You, it doesn't work out for you, then you go, Ernie's a dipshit and he chose poorly, all right? I'm willing to take that hit. So I'm telling you, it's got to have the right mindset, the right philosophy, thelibertyadvisor.com. Get with the, oh yeah. And he's going to get me a Narc Poco, so that's good.
And retirement is not a sprint, so trust an Iron Man.
There you go. Oh, yeah, he's an Iron Man athlete. I'll throw that in there. All right, thanks for coming on, man. It's always good to hear it. I'm glad we got this educated. He's got to help.